Welcome to the media ministry of the Bible Church of Brownsburg. The teacher for this Family Bible Hour is Pastor Paul Ludtke.
Take your Bibles, turn to Psalm 136. Psalm 136. We're going to do something a little bit different in our scripture reading this morning. And Mark and musicians, we're going to be interviewing the Hamptons after this. So if you want to go ahead and have a seat, that way you won't have to be standing for the next half hour on the stage awkwardly. Now, I don't know if we've ever done this since I've been here, but we're going to do a call and response this morning out of Psalm 136. You'll notice as you read through this psalm, even just at the first few verses, that there is a phrase that is repeated in every verse. In the New American Standard Version, which I'll be reading from this morning, that phrase is, "For his loving kindness is everlasting." For his loving kindness, his mercy, his covenant-keeping love is eternal. So what I'm going to do this morning is I'm going to read the first part of each verse, and then together, you're going to say, "For his loving kindness is everlasting." All right? Now say it like you mean it, all right? And we'll do this through the 26 verses here of Psalm 136. The psalmist is repeating that, likely because this was something that was sung by the Israelites, that one singer would sing this first part of the verse and the congregation would then reflect what has been said with this repeated phrase so that it would just ingrain itself into the minds of those that were there. All right, let's begin with verse 1. "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to the God of gods. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. To him alone, who alone does great wonders. To him who made the heavens with skill. To him who spread out the earth above the waters. To him who made the great lights. The sun to rule by day. The moon and the stars to rule by night. To him who smote the Egyptians in their firstborn and brought Israel out from their midst. With a strong hand and an outstretched arm. To him who divided the Red Sea asunder and made Israel pass through the midst of it. And he overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea. To him who led his people through the wilderness. To him who smote great kings and slew mighty kings. Sihon, king of the Amorites. And Og, king of Bashan, and gave their land as a heritage, even a heritage to Israel, his servant, who remembered us in our low estate and has rescued us from our adversaries, who gives food to all flesh. Give thanks to the God of heaven, for his loving kindness is everlasting." You may be seated. So we think through all of the elements that the author wrote and included in that. The fact that he repeated that phrase means that for each of those little partial sentences, phrases, that God's loving kindness was involved in each of those actions. And that means that God's loving kindness is involved in each and every detail of our lives as well. Let's pray this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you as this text is on our minds. This text is a reflection of your sovereign work on earth. Lord, it teaches and reminds us of your creative powers, that you are the origin of all things, and you made all things because indeed your covenant-keeping mercy and love is eternal and is reflected in your creation. And then you called out a people. You preserved them. In fact, you redeemed them and then defended them and then protected them and then provided for them, even as you do for everyone on this earth who bends the knee to you. Lord, your loving kindness is indeed eternal, extended to all whom you have called, to all who follow you in obedience. That same pattern exists, that we have been created in your image, that we are in need of your redemption, that once you have purchased us, you have then given us every blessing, the riches found in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that that plan of salvation has been thought of, has been put into place from eternity past, and it reaches into eternity future. For your mercy and goodness and kindness and love extends to us forever. On this morning, on this day, on this week in which we take special notice to give thanks, forgive us for those moments, Father, where we allow these truths to slip our minds, that we become more focused on the very short timeline of our own life and death, and forget that we have been called to a God where time makes no difference, that his very character and his love extended for us reaches back from eternity past and extends with no end in the future. May that overwhelm our souls this morning. We thank you for your goodness to us. In Christ's name, amen. All right, well, just a few items for you to keep in mind this morning. I know many of you have been praying for the Hertz and for Ethan this week after we found out, and the Hertz found out last Sunday morning that he was in a car accident. He is still hospitalized at the moment. And the challenge with that is that because of the directives from the state this week, Dan and Karen and in fact no other family member are able to see him at all. And so they're still waiting on a few tests. So if you could be just praying that he would get to the point where the doctors would be able to release him to go home, we're trusting that his body is healing to the point where that can occur. And that's really what the prayer would be at this moment, that he would be able to go home as soon as is possible. And then you can imagine just the turmoil that that places on Dan and Karen wanting to be with their son, but being unable. Just pray for them, for the strength and the courage that they need as well. Also, just on a practical note, you may notice this morning that this is the first Sunday in a long time that the doors are shut. Okay, we have left those doors open out of an abundance of caution over the last several months as we've had the opportunity to, as the weather has been nice enough to be able to have fresh air coming in through those openings. And so we wanted to just be able to provide as much of that fresh air as we could during this time. But we are obviously heading into a season, and I think it's probably begun this weekend, where we're not going to be able to do that. We anticipated that that day would come, but I just want you to be assured that the air that you will be breathing and that is circulating in the building is not just in and of itself. It does come in from the outside and go out, so we have done everything we can to evaluate our air service and circulation within the building and have made it as safe as we possibly can with the system that we have. So I don't want there to be any concerns this morning. If you see a door shut, we really got to the point where we think it's safer to have the door shut and not have all the cold, moist air coming in than it would be to have them open, even if it provided just a little bit more circulation. So just wanted you to be aware of that, especially as we go forward over the next days and weeks. Also, a reminder for any of you who are up for it, our Turkey Bowl will be taking place this Thursday, just down behind me on the field. We'll begin at 9 a.m. That usually lasts for an hour or two, and if you're interested in coming, just show up Thursday morning. We'll have a wonderful time. Also, after our service, you'll note on the table in the foyer, we have provided, and Pastor David sent out an email this week, that we've got just a little baked good for you this morning. It's a coffee cake muffin. Is that what it is? Try not to take one of each, like me. But we're so thankful for the gift that God has given Emily and her willingness to share with us. So if we just have one family member go to that table and select what you would like for your family to bring back, that will keep kind of the interaction at a minimum after our service. I'm sure we'll want to enjoy fellowship with one another and try to do that as safely as we can after the service. But just pick one of those up after the service. And then you also should have received an email this week in which we're trying to get an idea for the number for our Christmas Eve service. If you could respond to that over the course of the next week, I know there's a lot of details going on in every family as we plan for this holiday and spend time with friends and family this week. But if you could take the time just before next Sunday to respond to that, give us some sort of idea of how many you think might be coming to that service, and that'll give us a way to be able to plan for that service as we head into December. And then also for you parents of youth, we will be having our youth group this evening here at the church from 6:30 to 8:15. Bring your water bottle and Bible and face mask, and trust you'll be looking forward to that fellowship this evening together. Well, we're going to transition to something that's just a little bit different than normal at this point in our service, and tried to kind of give you a little bit of a heads up last week. We traditionally on this weekend take a few moments to be able to spend some time talking with each other about events that have taken place this year and have some of us be able to share testimonies of what has gone on in our lives. Now, this has been an especially challenging year for many of us, and the Lord in his kindness has allowed for Mark and Diana Hampton to join us this particular week, and so I thought we'd take advantage of them being here and spend a time with a little bit of a Q&A and being encouraged by what the Lord is doing with them this year. Now, if you're online, if your video goes out, don't turn off your TVs. We're just kind of adjusting the camera. The audio should stay consistent. Landon's doing his best to get everybody in screen and available for this. But I'm gonna invite Mark and Diana to come forward right now. And I'm going to take the opportunity to kind of just throw some questions their way to give us a chance to be able to hear what the Lord has done with them this year, a year that I think was unanticipated, right? Would you agree with that?
Absolutely.
So before we begin, give everybody an idea of the last time you were able to attend regular church on Sunday morning.
Well, the last time was the first time 3 weeks ago when we arrived in Indiana. And so prior to that, we had not been inside of a church building since first week of March. And I had a visceral reaction to being in a church building with brothers and sisters in Christ and praying together and singing together. And I knew, I'm thankful that Bible Church has been able to continue that through much of the pandemic. I hope you don't count that a small blessing. So it's been great to be back in church, but for us it was almost 9 months of not being in church or almost in the presence of people physically at all.
Mm-hmm. So give us an idea of what this year has been like then. Diana, we'll start with you.
Okay. And I just want to say, too, we've been able to follow along with you via YouTube, I guess it is. And that's been a blessing to us. But I'm just almost overcome with emotion this morning, just singing. So those of you that are at home, you're missing the beautiful sound of everyone praising God together and singing the truths of the Bible. And just being here together and reading God's word together. And we aren't even to the preaching yet. So I warn you now, I'm feeling a little emotional. This year has been quite different for all of us, as you know. The first 3 months that, when they first announced the lockdowns in Quito, it was about the same time as they began quarantining here. But for three months, we were on lockdown, basically. I think the curfew was 2 p.m., but that was just one person in the family being out one time a week. And so just for security reasons, that was always marked. So I think I was actually outside of our condo two or three times the first 3 months, and sometimes that was just meeting Mark downstairs to help carry in groceries. Other than we did climb stairs. So we were climbing the stairs for exercise. But after that, even up until the time we left, maybe a month or so before we left, we were beginning to meet people for coffee at outside cafes. But probably mid-June, we were able to get out for exercise. So we took advantage of that and got out every day for exercise to walk. But I think it's been a little more strict there. And as Mark said, we had not been in church since probably the first week of March. And church there still has not resumed. So we don't know when it will. So what a blessing to follow along with you guys in Mark. And then also just to be here this morning. And we love you all. And it's just a blessing to be here with you.
And climbing the stairs is not the same thing as climbing the walls, which we might have been tempted to do.
So what was it like as things began to be shut down? You know, we all have become familiar with how the government interacts and gives us instructions and guidance. What's that like in Ecuador when those sort of things happen, and what are the people's response to it and those sorts of things?
It's in Ecuador, it's kind of the mandate of the week, and I'm not exaggerating. They would change the days that you were allowed out or what age you were allowed out. There was a period of time where if you were over 60 years of age, you were not allowed out for any reason. And for Diana and I, that meant she would have had to have been the one to go out and get groceries and things like that. Thankfully, that didn't last long, and they raised it to age 70. I'm not quite there yet. So we were able to get out and get groceries and things like that only once a week. But the government is, I know people here might have a problem with the government's shutdown orders and how they're changing. Just magnify it by about 10 and you're in Ecuador. So it's been a lot of changes. I would say for the first 3-4 months, people were really obedient to the restrictions and they were going along with the program. And then, and you have to understand that about 70% of Ecuadorians make their living day to day selling baked goods in the streets or handmade crafts. And so when you shut them down for 3 or 4 months, they have no income, there is no Payroll Protection Act, there's no real government support. And so after about 3 months, people really started to violate the rules and COVID, did what COVID does when that kind of thing happens. So it's been a challenge. It continues to be a challenge. We're actually sitting here this morning hoping that we'll be able to get back into the country when we plan on leaving at the end of December, because cases are continuing to rise, and if they shut down the airspace as they did earlier, then there'll be no way we can get back in. Or if we get in, there'll be no way to get back out, which for reasons we'll talk about in a bit, there are some reasons we may need to leave Ecuador temporarily because of some family situations. So
what particular challenges did that bring for you guys, both in ministry and personal and church and all those sorts of things? How was that? I mean, obviously we hear that and think, you know, not being able to leave anywhere for 3 months, you know, would be a challenge. But specifically, what challenges presented you guys?
Personally, I'll go to first is I could stay at home. So those 3 months weren't horrible for me, but I think it brought out the selfishness in my heart that I could just, you know, I'm at home, I can do what I want. I did the first couple of weeks, I did projects around the house, and then was like, okay, this is going to last a little bit longer. And thankfully, in this day and age, we have the internet, so we were able to continue ministry. I've been able to continue counseling and discipleship. It's been difficult because we're face-to-face video, but we're not in the same room. Most counselees would come to our home. Actually, pretty much all of the counselees would come to our home, and we would counsel there. So one of the hard things was we have a few that we were counseling as couples and then women that do not have good access to internet. And then one of my translators that I was using, the schedule didn't work out, so some of those counselees were dropped. But just remembering that God is in control even of that, and we hope to be able to pick those back up. But we've been able to continue the counseling through COVID, and while we're here, we're continuing those, and those will continue on when we go back. They're different people now, but God has continued to bring that, bring those people. One of the hard things, there are so many people that, because the church can't meet, because they can't be out, especially people who are single or live alone, or many that live with parents, it's just been difficult. Relationally difficult, in being discouraged, and not to be able to hug those people and just to be in a room with them. And it's so much easier in person to express how you care than, you know, over the internet. So that's been hard for me, and it's put a heaviness on me that's been at times almost too much, discouraging. But then because I'm a biblical counselor, I counsel myself, and I remember that really all we need is God. He is all we need, and sometimes it takes these kind of circumstances to remind us of that. And as I tell my counselees that, I remember that myself, and we can't do anything about so many of the circumstances, so much of the suffering that we're experiencing, but we can pray, and that's what we do with that burden, that heaviness, is to go to the Lord and pray.
Thanks, Diana. Mark, what about you? What are some of the challenges that you've been facing, and how have you been able to battle the discouragement that comes from some of the circumstances that the Lord has placed us in, the difficulties, and use those to be able to mature your faith rather than cause it to be, to go backwards?
So one of the biggest blessings of the ministry at La Fuente is the weekly community group, and that's the highlight of our week. And for us, what that means is having, before COVID, it meant having 25 to 30 people in our home. We would share a meal every week. We would discuss the sermon. Ecuadorians are very relational. You've all probably heard us talk about the traditional Ecuadorian greeting, and it is the un-COVID greeting. And so I don't know if that will ever come back, but that's been hard, not to be able to have that time in our home, not just because it's our home, whose ever home we would meet in, just to have that time together as a church family, kind of like Diana shared, where it's one thing to tell someone via Zoom that you are thinking of them, praying for them, but to have a real conversation face-to-face is a different animal, and a much better animal, as far as I'm concerned. But that has been a challenge. A verse of scripture for me that I was reading through the Old Testament about the time COVID hit. Happened to be in Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 7:10 is a verse that God just kind of really cemented on my heart. It says, do not say, why were the former days better than these? For this does not come from wisdom. And obviously it's Solomon writing, the wisest of men. And so that verse of scripture kind of stands alone. There's nothing before it or immediately after it that gives us a clue as to why. But as I got to thinking about it, I came up with a lot of whys as to why it's not good to compare pre-COVID with post-COVID. And they all ultimately connect back to the nature and character of our God. God is still good in COVID. He's still omniscient. He's still omnipotent, still omnipresent. And it's working change in us and growing us. So even when there have been challenges, they haven't been without a purpose. And so that verse in Ecclesiastes is special to me this year. That's kind of on the negative side of the scriptures, a do not say kind of a command. You might look at Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and following, where it talks about how Paul is praying that the Colossian believers would develop spiritual understanding and wisdom. And then it goes on to talk about why. And I don't know about you all, but we need steadfastness. That's one of the things that he mentions in those verses. And in times of COVID, we could all use a dose of steadfastness. And he continues on with some other things. But point being, God has a purpose, even in the challenges.
Dan, has there been a particular spiritual truth or verse that has been helpful to you as you've worked through this?
Many. And again, I continue to preach truth to myself because we can get so caught up in the temporary things of this world. But to remember who our God is, remember that he's in control. But I think a verse or several verses that are special and have affected Mark and I both, 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though the outer man is decaying, the inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction, and I'll just insert there, you know, these sufferings of this world do not seem like momentary light affliction. But then we go on. For momentary light affliction is producing in us an eternal weight of glory, far beyond all comparison. For we look not on the things which are seen, but the things which are unseen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things which are unseen are eternal. And so just remembering that God has a purpose in this. We think of this life as being everything, but honestly, we all have a physical death sentence, you know, but hopefully it's not a spiritual death sentence. And we have a purpose in this life to be ambassadors for the Lord, to share the gospel, to be conformed more to the image of Christ, and to encourage each other in that.
Mark, you touched on it a little bit earlier, but how have you guys grown in your appreciation for the church? Just the ordinary kind of regular participation in the way that God has used fellowship and participation in the church as a means of grace. What have you learned and how has that become more precious to you?
I'm in awe of your worship team because as a former member, it is hard to sing behind a mask. and so thank you guys for your ministry in song, but just being able to gather together, sing as a body to our God, to pray together, to, don't tell anybody, but I shook a couple of hands this morning. I know that's probably, you know, at least I didn't hug you and kiss you on the cheek as I might have done in Ecuador, but to be able to shake a hand, to sing together, to pray together. We join in with you, I won't say every Sunday, but most Sundays we join in with you via internet. And it's a blessing. I tell people that we are missionaries in the sense that we're far away, but with technology we can be sort of near. And so that's been a blessing to be able to have the internet to listen to the services, but to be here in person is much better. We're thankful for the church. We love the church, and I hope you all have that same heart for the church in lots of areas.
What has been brought into your life, or who has been brought into your life, if that's the case this year, that has brought you encouragement?
I'll let Diana probably share some more details about this. My younger brother and his wife are probably the most vivid memory of encouragement to us. They are living through that 2 Corinthians 4 passage that Diana just recited to you, and I'll let her share some details. But to see saints suffering and doing it well has just been a huge encouragement, and it humbles and shames me because we aren't going through anything like that, and how often I can have a complaining spirit or a woe is me kind of attitude. And then I get a text from my brother sharing what they're going through, and it is just plastered with scripture and how they're trusting in the Lord. So that has been a great...
Yeah, fill everybody in on what Mark's talking about.
Okay. I understand in this room there are people who have suffered this past year, so I don't pretend to hold us up as a model or special. It's just part of living in a fallen world. But we came back in early. We didn't get to come back in July because of COVID. The airspace was still shut down. But there were situations going on in our family that we felt like we needed to be here ministering to some family situations. So when the airspace opened up, we came back in early October. We spent the first 3 weeks on the West Coast. And I'll let you share about that situation. If you want to hand it back, I'll continue on.
If you could all just be praying. We were in California most of October, just trying to be a help to my daughter.
I won't give you the whole story, but the gist of it is.
I'm sorry. Anyway, her boyfriend was diagnosed with stage 4 liver cancer this summer. So we were just trying to be a help to them. If you could pray for them, that would be wonderful.
And then I mentioned my brother and sister-in-law. She has been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, multiple organs. In both of these cases, and Mark, you would know better than most, I suppose, 6 to 12 months. The Lord has numbered all of our days, so we can't say exactly how long. But in both of those cases, they're not expected to live long. And then after arriving in Indiana, it was, you may remember my sister Tracy, who passed away a couple of years ago, and her husband has been diagnosed, had surgery for now, since we got back to Indiana, stage 4 brain cancer. And so we are trying to minister to my two nieces who have lost a mom and now are on the cusp of losing their dad here pretty quickly, it looks like. And then we had literally no sooner landed in Indiana, and Shane, my youngest son, was involved in an auto accident. He has a compression fracture in his back, broken feet. So he's a union carpenter, so he's not able to work for the next 3 to 4 months. And all of that might seem a little overwhelming, but we're overwhelmed with gratitude because God in his providence has worked it out that we're here and able to minister to all these situations. My son can't, do anything to clean his eaves or just simple, things like that, or helping my sister-in-law clean her house. She can't do that. So those kinds of things where, we can look on it and sometimes maybe feel overwhelmed, but we really are, especially this week with Thanksgiving, overwhelmed with gratitude that we can minister to family. It's a joy to minister to our church family in Ecuador and people that come into our lives there, but family's an area of ministry too. So
seeing these challenges as opportunities to be able to serve and to be thankful for God providing those for a way for you to be able to show love and minister as a way that you are able to maintain a heart of thanksgiving. Amen. Even during this time. As we wrap up, kind of give everyone an idea of kind of short-term, long-term future, you know, what you guys are anticipating, both through kind of through the end of the year and then hopefully into next year, so that we can be supporting you and praying for you as best we can.
Well, let me start and then I'll hand it over, okay? We shared with you that we returned in October, and the ACBC conference is held annually, the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors. We had planned to be at the conference. Obviously, it didn't happen. It was supposed to be in California, but because of COVID, it was virtual. But what we found out is that La Fuente has been approved as the first certified biblical counseling training center in the Spanish-speaking world, and that's, you know, that's a huge blessing. And so as we go back, it will be cementing and growing the counseling ministry at La Fuente. One of the blessings of COVID is that all of our biblical counseling training has gone online, and we used to have a live class once a month for 9 months out of the year that was just at La Fuente. There was no streaming. There was no outside access to it. Well, now, since it's online, all of that training is reaching anywhere the internet reaches in the Spanish-speaking world. So we have students in this year's class from Dominican Republic, Uruguay, Colombia. I may be forgetting. But we have 35 students enrolled, which is a record number of enrollments for the Biblical Counseling Training class with the Certified Training Center. We hope that these students will go on and become certified, not because certification is in and of itself the thing, but it does help to define what is biblical counseling and set some guardrails, because a lot of people would say they are counselors or Christian counselors or biblical counselors, and they may not even use scripture. But anyway, that's been a blessing. And what we want to focus on short term as we go back longer term, obviously we want to see that ministry grow and expand beyond La Fuente to other countries. And God is able.
Diana, why don't you wrap us up a little bit?
Okay. And I would just add to that with Pastor Hota, we have three ACBC certified counselors at La Fuente. We have another one who is ready for his final observation phase. We have someone else who is in the Master's of Biblical Counseling program at Master's University. And then we have maybe five others that are working on their exams, which is in the final phase before you have your observation. So we're excited just to see how the Lord has grown that. And again, as Mark said, being certified isn't an all in all, but just to encourage all of us, and for you guys to pray for us for our faithfulness, but just God's word is sufficient, and to be able to give ourselves truth from God's word and to read God's word and study God's word. But also, if you would just pray for us, again, we're continuing the training and the counseling while we are here, and just allowing the Lord sets our schedules. If something comes up in the family, it's amazing that people will call and cancel their appointments for the day, or, you know, just how the Lord does that. But pray for wisdom for us, just with family situations, just what we should or shouldn't do, and as far as traveling and. We just need wisdom, but pray for our faithfulness, for us to look at our own hearts and work on our own sin as we counsel others to do the same.
Well, thanks to the both of you for being willing to share and be with us here this morning. It's been a tremendous blessing to hear from you and to be encouraged. And I trust that you guys notice that regardless of the trials and the challenges that are faced, nothing hinders the work of God. That even in the midst of everything that's going on, God has allowed ministry to grow, has allowed your own hearts to mature, he's allowed you to be where you need to be, and to bring you to the places that you need to be, and we can learn from that. And it is a privilege for us to be able to partner with you in your ministry and in your service to the Lord in Ecuador, and it's a privilege for us to have you here this morning. So let's pray for Mark and Diana this morning. Father, we come before you and we are so grateful for these precious servants, Lord. We're thankful for the friendship that we have with them, for the proximity that we have to the work that you're doing in their lives, the ability to share with them in the work of the ministry in South America and in Ecuador. And thankful, Lord, that you called them at the time that you did. You prepared them and they are willing to go forward and to serve you. And now, at this time, Lord, we have the opportunity to encourage them and to give to them our prayers and our thoughts and just our thankfulness. Lord, thank you that they have shown us exactly how we should respond to the circumstances that we face. And together we can praise you and be thankful that we serve a God that is greater than all our needs and all our circumstances. We thank you for all these things in Christ's name. Amen.
We love you, Bible Church.
We love you too. Thank you, musicians. What a wonderful opportunity we have to express to the Lord really the thoughts that we heard expressed by Mark and Diana this morning. If you take your Bibles this morning and turn to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. Spend the rest of our time together in this short but powerful psalm. Almost 400 years ago, and almost to the day, this proclamation was made on our shores. Governor Bradford of Massachusetts made this first Thanksgiving proclamation 3 years after the Pilgrims settled at Plymouth, and this is what he said. Inasmuch as the Great Father has given us this year an abundant harvest of Indian corn, wheat, peas, beans, squashes, and garden vegetables, and has made the forest to abound with game and the sea with fish and clams, and inasmuch as he has protected us from the ravages of the savages, has spared us from pestilence and disease, has granted us freedom to worship God according to the dictates of our own conscience. Now I, your magistrate, do proclaim that all ye pilgrims with your wives and ye little ones do gather at ye meeting house on ye hill between the hours of 9 and 12 in the daytime on Thursday, November 29th of the year of our Lord, 1623, the third year since ye pilgrims landed on ye pilgrim rock, and there to listen to ye pastor and render thanksgiving to ye almighty God for all his blessings. Signed, William Bradford, ye governor of ye colony. Maybe we need to bring ye back. I thought that was a remarkable statement. We are in these times reading more and more proclamations that are sent to us by our governing authorities. I've yet to read something as profound as this in recent moments. This is a proclamation by the leading governmental authority, a proclamation of thanksgiving for the abundant provision of God, the clear protection of God, and the opportunity to praise God. And what is the result of these privileges that have been given? What does he call the people to do in this proclamation? He actually isn't calling them to kill a turkey and fill it with stuffing and gather around a table and bring all the food together. He calls them to church. He calls them to a 3-hour worship service to listen to their pastor. Now, I'm not going to mimic that this morning. You have nothing to fear. I can see the clock as well as you can. But in the brief time we have remaining, this psalm calls us to essentially the same action, to stop and to give thanks in our worship to God. Let's read these verses together. Psalm 100, a psalm for thanksgiving. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations. This is a psalm of praise, a psalm of thanksgiving. Some of your Bibles may title it a psalm of praise and thanksgiving. It's interesting to know that that term can be translated either way. It's a psalm that I think can be helpful for us both this morning and this week. And just in the last few moments that we have in our service, I know if you're like me, you've been blessed to this point in time. But I just want to put into our minds five thoughts this morning. Five thoughts for cultivating a thankful heart. Five thoughts for cultivating a thankful heart. You can be grateful this morning that it's only five, because earlier this week it was 10. Five thoughts for cultivating a thankful heart. The first comes from verse 1. First thought is this: declare your loyalty to God. Declare your loyalty to God is the first thought that leads towards cultivating a thankful heart. The psalmist begins with this phrase: shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. What is this shout that he's speaking of? It's a shout of loyalty. You'll notice that it's referring to everyone. There's no one that's excluded from this shout. It's universal. It's what all men and all nations ought to do, but what is the content of this shout that is being referred to? That's what's critical here. That's what I want to point out to you this morning in this quick thought. When Israel first chose, or God chose for Israel, their first king, Samuel was directed by God to identify Saul. When Saul was brought before the people, this is what Samuel said. In 1 Samuel 10:24, Samuel said to all the people, "Do you see him who the Lord has chosen? Do you see the king that you requested, that God has now chosen for you? Surely there is no one like him among all the people." So all the people shouted. What did they say? Long live the king. Long live the king. The first thought towards cultivating a thankful heart is to have this phrase be audibly welling up in your heart and expressed in your voice: long live the king. Not an earthly king, but God himself as king. The first thought towards cultivating a thankful heart is seeing God as the king to be worshiped for all the earth. A joyful declaration of his lordship. That's the first thought. The second is found in verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. There's two instructions there. The second thought would be this: give yourself fully to God. Not only declare your loyalty to him, but then, as a loyal subject, give all of you, all of who you are, to him. First, serve him joyfully. Serve him with gladness. Even in Psalm 2, the kings and the judges that were rising up against the God-ordained authority, against Christ, are commanded to worship the Lord with reverence and rejoice with trembling in Psalm 2:11. When we fully give ourselves to the Lord, we recognize that he is the master and we are but the servant. We have to give ourselves fully as servants to the King in our worship, in all that we do, in our holy living. What the psalmist is getting at here is reluctance. Reluctance. We tend to be reluctant in our service. One author said this: reluctance in God's service is no different from refusal to engage in it. I thought that was helpful. So many times we would say, well, we would never refuse. Listen, if God spoke to me, if I believed that he was telling me exactly what I needed to do, of course I couldn't refuse. I don't want to be Jonah, right? But what the psalmist is getting at is that reluctance to serve, reluctance to engage, reluctance to give, withholding some part of your life in service is every bit as dangerous as refusal. And for the one who is going to cultivate a thankful heart, they must be willing to give all of who they are joyfully. So serve joyfully. Second part of giving yourself is singing heartily. Come before him with joyful singing. Come before his face. Come into the very presence of God and use your voice to sing praises to the Lord. Singing is a critical part of worship. The impact of song on the soul cannot be overstated. When we come to sing to the Lord, we shouldn't be doing it with dour faces as we're on our phone checking our email or our texts, distracted. We should do it joyfully and gladly. The opportunity, even as Mark said earlier, to hear fellow saints sing to the Lord. Isaac Watts said this: let those who refuse to sing, who never knew our God, but favorites of the heavenly King, must speak his praise abroad. If you're a Christian, you must sing, even if your voice is as horrible as mine. You sing, and you sing loudly, and you sing joyfully, and you sing with gratitude, because singing will cultivate a thankful heart. There's no place where singing should be more relevant, more elevated than the church. Because the church understands that singing impacts the soul. The soul. That's why it's important for music to be cultivated in the church. We must desire good music, excellent music within the church, because it serves the soul so well in cultivating a thankful heart. If you want to have a thankful heart, you not only need to declare your loyalty, you need to give yourself fully to God. The third thought this morning comes from verse 3. Recognize your duty. Recognize your duty to God. The first duty we have is to know him. Look what the psalmist says at the beginning of verse 3. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is the duty of the subjects to know the king. And God has not made this difficult for us. He is not hiding himself from us. He has revealed himself to us. And so it's our responsibility to know him. We know him through the wonders that he has performed. We recalled that even in our back and forth this morning in Psalm 136. We know him because of the judgment that he expresses and executes. We know him because of the safety that he gives. Psalm 9, verse 16, the Lord has made himself known. If you want to cultivate a thankful heart, you must pursue the knowledge of God. You have a duty to pursue it, and you have a duty not only to know him, but to know yourself in light of him. Look how the psalmist continues. Know that the Lord himself is God. He is the singular Jehovah God. It is he who made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. The creator is the owner, right? The creator is the owner. Just watch any child play with blocks. Let them build some structure with their Legos. And then you go in and try to adjust it or take it or move it. Even children understand that the creator is the owner, right? They want to protect what belongs to them. And yet God has made every human. David writes in Psalm 139, you formed my inward parts, you wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Recognizing that God owns us is a thankfulness cultivator. Know that God has the right over your life. We must know him. We have a duty to God to know him, but we also have a duty to know ourselves in light of him. He is our owner, but he is also benevolent. He cares for us. Look what he says. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. A shepherd cares for the sheep. A shepherd doesn't ignore the sheep. A shepherd doesn't put the sheep into a pen and come back 3 months later. A shepherd lovingly gives tender care to the sheep. He doesn't just own us. He cares for us. This verse is also used in Psalm 95:7, where the psalmist says, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. And as a result of that, today, if you would hear his voice, if you would listen to him, if you would follow him, if you would obey him, do not harden your hearts. Don't ignore him. Don't reject him. We must know God. Know that he is. He is a rewarder of those who seek him. He exists. He is the one true God. There is no other like him. He is blessed forever, and we owe everything to him. You want to cultivate a heart of thankfulness? Declare your loyalty to God. Give all that you are to God. Recognize your duty to God. And then verse 4, offer thankful worship to God. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. This is an individual and a corporate duty, responsibility, thankful worship. It is no small thing for us to gather on Sunday or any other day of the week that we're called to offer our thankfulness and our praise to God. We are to repeatedly extend to him our thankfulness and our praise. We confess his name. We recognize his name. It's the same word that's used for confession of sin in a different context. We confess who God is. We confess our sin to God. This confession is really a recognition of his holiness. His holiness. When we worship him, when we praise him, when we're thankful for him, we understand his gratitude in light of his holiness. And so we bless his name. I don't have time this morning to go through all the names of God in the Bible, but his names reflect his character, his reputation, even his glory. When we give our worship to him, we are saying that we owe everything to him, and we don't need anything beside do you want to cultivate a thankful heart this morning? Declare your loyalty to God. Give yourself fully to God. Recognize your duty to God. Offer thankful worship to God. And last of all, value the character of God. Look at verse 5. The Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting. His faithfulness is to all generations. God is good. And he is merciful, and he is true. We worship God for who he is. We come to him out of what he has revealed to us. And as we said and repeated in Psalm 136, his character extends in eternity past and is expressed going forward and will be never ending. God can be counted on. And if he is good, then his children must be good. If he is merciful, then we must be merciful. If he is true, then we must be faithful. If you want to cultivate a thankful heart this morning, focus on God. Now you notice none of those things caused us to look around and see the bounty of what God has given us. I'm not saying that that can't be a reason to be thankful. But all of those reflect our relationship to him. If you're a believer here this morning, you can be thankful. You can be cultivating a heart of thankfulness from each one of those. And if you're not, then you can see your need to do so. Because if you're not, you need to recognize that God has created you. And if he's created you, then he owns you. And if he owns you, then you owe everything to him. And you owe to follow him in the way that he has told you to follow. And you recognize that that sin that you have is the barrier between you and him. And so you're willing to surrender yourself to repent of that sin and offer thankful worship to him and do whatever he wants. Hold nothing back. That's the gospel in 5 verses. You know, it's harvest season. And I've never been a farmer. I know a good one. But the farmer is always working on the crop, right? He's cultivating it. He's putting labor into it. Those are the commands here. Think of yourself as a farmer this morning working on your heart. You want to do the labor that the psalmist says. You want to shout joyfully, serve the Lord, come, know, enter, give. That's the labor you give. Why do farmers do all of that? Because they recognize a value in what they're producing and what they're giving themselves to. And that's what shows up in verse 5. That's the value, the reason, the worthiness of the cause is God himself. You want to cultivate a thankful heart this morning? Do these things. I recognize the worthiness of the God for whom it's all directed. Let's pray. Father, our time in your word is short this morning, but I trust it will be useful and powerful. We're thankful for your servants. We're thankful for the opportunity to sing. We're thankful for the Hamptons, Lord, and their challenge to us this morning. I pray in these next moments of fellowship that we might be able to encourage one another, to encourage them, but Father, even to be able to cultivate within our own hearts and minds a thankful heart. We give this time to you and pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen.
You have been listening to a message from the Bible Church of Brownsburg. For more information, please visit our website at www.bcb.church or call 317-852-7475.